just use a picture to open up your phone?
No, won't work.
Really? Maybe.
Of course not.
Why not?
Because it's not...
Because it's dead.
Well,
what if you had a 3D photo of yourself? What if you had a 3D photo of yourself?
Somebody should try it and let us know.
I should do it.
I think, because it's when you're on your phone, it's constantly taking an image of your face, constantly.
Not that's like, a valid point.
That's what it's doing, though, just so it's okay. Keeping itself up to date with how you look. So that
that's
because
you age by the minute, of course.
Well, I do in this podcast.
We'll just keep it like
that. We do.
So today, I want to talk about sales.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we said this before, sales is lifeblood to any business, the sales funnel, but I wanted to give you an analogy here. So you've started your business and it's going quite well. You've got your friends and family and it's exhausted now and the phone's not ringing. Where is it you go? Now, I want you to really, really deep dive in here because this is 2025, January now. So January, predominantly for some businesses, is a bit slower off the ground. The phone's not going, the emails are not coming in. Now we can chat about, we have the SEO package, we have our website. Now if you just started, you've only got 3-4 months into the business.
Under the belt.
Yeah. How do you open up that sales funnel? So my question is, putting you on the spot, and I'll go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch it. I'll go with Vickers first,
yeah.
You're just looking at me.
No.
So tomorrow, one of your clients cancels on you,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Or postpones. It's going to March.
Whatever
but you
happens.
Need to find work. Where do you find work for your business?
So I would go back to previous people that I've been talking to for a while. So guys that you've sent out a proposal to just touch base lightly and say, because they've already come to you from some sort of perspective. Just find out where they are. It's always an easy one. Go back to clients that's bought from you in the past. Just see where they are. Or people that you've had conversations with in the past.
So
sounds
what,
like textbook answer.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's a textbook answer, but it's got merit in it as well. So question is, I would ask you the same question, Mike.
Mm.
And there's another follow-on in the back of this.
What if they say no?
Well.
What?
But if the clients that you go, no, not right now, then you're back to square one.
I'll go on this one. I want to put Mike on the spot now, but I'll come back to you on this one, right? So Mike.
Like, I think if you've done your market research, you understand who your customers are. It's just about getting out and reaching them. So if the sales are slowing down or you are finding that there's not enough coming in, then you need to just ramp up what you're doing to get the message out there. So you need to find these people. Where are they hanging out? You know, the social media is not always the best, but you will see a big difference if you put some campaigns together, and you can do that very quickly.
Yeah, and cost effective as well.
More cost effective. It depends on obviously what your business is. Like the trades, you know, you're doing work constantly. You should be always taking before and after pictures and, you know, keeping a record of the job.
I'm going to be a little bit controversial.
Nice. Like that.
I'm going to be a little bit controversial there as... in theory, absolutely great. Practice doesn't work.
But I would argue that.
Okay, so this is where it becomes controversial because even if you know who your customer is, okay, you go to Facebook, you paste the same stuff, you're going to reach the same people. What are you doing differently? What are the changes you're prepared to make? So the before and after is great, okay? And we are controversial here. I agree with you 100%. But to me,
99%.
Yeah. Well, 99.9 now.
Exactly.
But the thing is, what changes? Because we're scared to make change. We do what we always do. Okay, so I've just said to you, I'll go back to clients. I need to change that. As I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I need to change that because what if that doesn't work? Right. What am I prepared to do? Now, everybody thinks social media is great and you can do things cost effectively, but you're only reaching a certain audience. Yeah, how are you growing your audience? Right. What are you doing? Where are you finding them?
So that's one part of a funnel.
So you go break that back down. We're in a business journey just now and we've been in for many years, right? Let's say you've been in business for 5 months, 6 months. And as I said before, you've exhausted the friends and family. Now, whatever business in, whether you're in consultancy, whether you're in trades, whether, you know, dog walker, a clothes shop, whatever you're in, you're generally having to make sure that you are taking data. So from the very initial stages for you selling, whatever you're doing, you need to be taking data. So that's one of the biggest attributes. That's one of the biggest key things in business. You're extracting data so you can store, so then you can resell it out on MailChimp or whatever platform you've got.
What data do you take though? Because I agree with you. Business has changed. In 2025, it's going to be about data-driven insights.
So the data-driven insights. So you need to know what your client wants, desires, what they value. So taking their name and number and an email, that's not enough. If I was selling shoes,
mm-hmm.
I'd be wanting to see what the biggest brands that they're looking for and mark them down in my black book or on my wee file. Like what they came in for, their client journey, when did the last come in, what are they buying, have they got a thin foot, a wide foot, what's their comforts like, are they overweight, are they this or that, just the things to find out, because you're trying to get a key metric on who they are, so then you can dive, you can sell straight to them. So if you've got that with the first 4 months with friends and family, this is why it's so important, data is so important, to ask people why. A simple question: what made you phone me? What made you come to us,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's when you'll get their proposition, their value. And it's so important. And a lot of people miss this because they're just so excited that they've got a sale. Now, again, you look in consultancy, you look in clothes shops, you look in the trades. This is something that you can do every single time, whether you're selling gas and electricity, whether you're doing, you know, gym exercises, you're a PT instructor. All these things are so important, but you have to get a list of questions that will best serve your business for getting that value proposition for a new client. So if you start that at the very beginning, you'll do extremely well. And it's like what you said in various episodes before, Tesla is a data company, Amazon's a logistics company, right? But they're storing data all the time. Data is like so, you know, people are paying fortunes data scraping off companies' house. You take the trades, we're scraping companies' house or Fife Planning, Edinburgh Planning, trying to get all that information. Information is power.
Mm-hmm.
So get all the information that you can possibly can. It's out there. So 5 months, sales has went down and you're now having to be reactive. So what other things can you do then? So you've went to previous clients for the 4 or 5 months. What can you do differently now to get that next client across the line that week?
What would you do, Jonathan?
It's not about me.
No, but it is.
I'm putting you on the spot. Right, so give me a business. So, because it's easy to talk about my own business, how
yeah,
I do
it's
it.
It's easy if we talk about our own things because we know what we could do, but...
Printing company.
Right.
A printing company. So if I've got a printing company and I've just started 4 or 5 months in the game, my first thing that I would do...
What are you printing though?
Well, I could be printing flyers, right. I could be printing t-shirts, I could be printing van wraps, I could be doing all that. What I would then do is build a collaboration. So I would get a list of all the local printers in my area and I'll see if they need a bit of a helping hand. Introduce myself, go and see them. Again, that's fuel cost though. So I might ask them to do a Skype, a Facebook, FaceTime.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you know, just statistically speaking, how many competitors collaborate? Do you know?
Probably not a lot.
But do you know why that's a bad idea?
Yeah.
Because what people worry is that they're going to steal clients from you.
Exactly.
But this is the good thing though, doing this, because I've done this in the past, collaborations, but I set my stall out. If, and this is me being me, you can decide to choose to fuck me or not. What would you do if somebody did that to you? What would you do? And you ask them the question, So that's biggest concerns. You have got an opportunity to screw me over. But if you do decide, I'm not too sure if I'll tell you, I'll just cut you, or I'll go to town, I'll go for your jugular. Right? So, but then you set that out.
That fear. Set that out straight away. So when you go to competitors, don't be afraid to tell them that. I think you should always be talking to your competitors.
Yeah,
They will have the fear.
Exactly.
And do you know what? It comes back to that one thing, trust. But people undervalue it. They say it. Trust, trust, trust. Does it show up when when you turn up? Do you show trust?
Yeah, but how do you show up? That's the thing. It becomes more complicated when you have a larger team at play.
So back to your question.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try and collaborate with other people.
Okay.
Now, that might take a little while. You might get a golden nugget there. They might want to help you. And this is how you articulate yourself in sales. You've got YouTube. You've got all these platforms that you could learn how to deal with objection handling, how to hold a conversation. Because if you've just started in business 4 or 5 months, you might not be that confident. But trust me, those people have been there before as well. So don't put them in the higher racket. Right? Or the higher level. They're just a human being. But find a way that best works for yourself to introduce yourself over the phone, because you will be a little bit stalling. You might get a gatekeeper that's not going to let you speak to the owner, but find a way around it. And I could tell you so many ways to do it.
Yeah.
It is very, very simple. But you go and seek and find that information on YouTube. It is amazing. And when you get confidence in it. So that's one way of doing it. The second cost-effective way, for printing anyway, you could phone up local businesses and ask them a few questions, and always use it, I've been introduced to you by da 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 da, make it up, because it makes it more valuable and they love the kudos. So listen, can I speak to Vickers Vamble, John? Well, who is it? It's Johnny here from the print company. Stuart Robertson just gave me your number. He told me to go and speak to Vickers.
What if
directly?
I don't know Stuart Robertson?
It doesn't matter, because I'll leave him intrigued. Like, who's Stuart Robertson?
You're just questioning yourself at this point. Going,
who's Stuart Robertson? I mean, I've done these things in the past. Like, I remember, I'll rename nameless, this company. I wanted to get in with them, and I was so keen to get them, because I knew it'd be very, very good for my old business. So I chapped the door, and I pretended that I had a meeting with them. And I knew it was amazing how it was all working, because I was just like, great. And I looked the person up on company's house, got their details, and I says, hi there, it's Johnny here. And I never said decorating services. I just said, it's Johnny here from JDB. I'm in here to speak to da da da. All right, have you got an appointment? Yes. All right, no problem, sit there. She went through. I know what's happened. She's went through. I've got Johnny Bissett here, da da da. And he's like, who? Oh, and she came back to show. Where are you from? I says, JDB, listen, I've driven from, he might have not put in, because I've just driven from Aberdeen. I was actually meant to be here an hour earlier, because I never like to be late. I said, all right, okay, no problem. But she's got, and he's questioning, has somebody made a mistake here? But anyway, he's now intrigued, because he thinks he's got it wrong. Did I go in? First thing I did was a firm handshake, looked in the eyes. I went, look, I had to find a way to try and get in here, because I thought I would just get knocked by your gatekeeper. And he went, you cheeky bastard. I said, listen, can you give me 30 seconds to pitch to you, and then I'll be out your hair.
Best 30 seconds of his life.
And then what happened, an hour or so later, his father phoned me, and I think there was something there, because I really like the family. I think they're brilliant. You know, all the stuff that's going on, and what other people say, they're tremendous. And that got me in. But this is what I'm saying to people. You have to think outside the box.
Yeah.
Do something different.
Outside
and know the worst case scenario, you fall flat on your face and you embarrass yourself. So, who cares? You're not dead.
That's the thing is pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. Because a lot of people aren't comfortable doing things like that. And I will say that to you, if you're not comfortable in doing it, you're never going to own it 110%. You're going to have to find that inner drive and inner motivation to drive it forward, to do something that, to try it. Because if you don't own it, you'll never do it.
This is going back to, I understand that everybody's got a set of skills, right? But you have to level up what's important to your business. Now, it's all great that you might be really an introvert, but you're very good at what you're doing if you're making stuff.
Yeah.
So you need to find someone that's better at sales than you. You know, I've met many a businessman, people that are doing networking, and they can't read a room properly. They can't do X, Y, and Z. They're probably really intelligent and brilliant at what they do. This is not for you, because you're going to destroy your business, because you are the business. You're the brand. You're the person that's selling your business, and you're completely the wrong person to sell your own business. So figure out where your attributes are. Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
But that even networking, that's another one, though, for... If you're saying printing that we're using, you're looking to see where your customers are. And if you're looking to get all these new businesses that are starting up that are out there doing the networking, looking for their business cards, looking for promotional stuff. You know, if you're a printer, for example, going into one of these elements, excuse me, you know, you've got an abundance there of work that you could be bringing in quite quickly as well.
So how would you get them to find networking? I mean, a networking group?
I mean, it's searches, Google searches is an easiest way. You can, like, if you're going in and seeing other businesses, like you were saying there, you could be asking them what they're doing. I think goes back to what we've been saying before. If you're needing help, you can ask. Like, go in and see other businesses, even if it's not relevant to what you're doing with your business. Go and speak to somebody else and say, what would you do? You know, and people will tell you what they've done, and go to this networking here, or come with me. I'm going on Thursday. I'll take you to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just starts to open some doors up for you.
It's just a different way of thinking about it, isn't it? It's opening your horizon, because when you start your business, you are the chief sales officer, you are the chief marketing officer, you're the chief operating officer, you're the chief people person, you're the chief finance officer, and you're the CEO. So you're wearing 5 or 6 hats. And nobody, now, and I've said to you before, nobody's good at everything. A good CEO gets trained. He's not an expert on any one of those things, but he understands the concepts that underpin them.
And that's a part of the growth of your business. So, you know, like, if you need to bring somebody in that's going to be better at sales, and it's just part of the growth, when
you need to find
happen?
Some money.
Yep.
When you have some money, and how do you get some money? And that's the thing, is I think that very often you can get disheartened. 5 months in, there's no sales coming. Just lie on the couch, close the door, cry a little bit.
That's why it's so hard at the start, though. You need to get that traction.
How long? How long is it hard? How long? When does it become easier?
It doesn't really ever become easier.
There we go. That's the thing. But we just start some business.
It's like shite in your pants. You eventually get hardened into it.
So the first 3 years is always the hardest. The first three is always the hardest. Always, always. Because you're building track record, you're establishing yourself. The next three is even harder, because now you have to deliver. But if you get past 10, then you need to reinvent yourself. Then it becomes even harder. So business never becomes easier. Don't let them fool you and think that business is ever easy. It always becomes harder. It depends on the individual. Are you prepared to change? Because we become complacent. No, without a shadow of a doubt, we become complacent in our businesses. Right.
And you change in your business. You change as a person.
Yeah, you get to a stage where you're comfortable. And that's okay. But then when you become complacent and adversity strikes, you move into reactive mode.
Well, there's that fight and flight mode. I mean, even for now, there's a little part of me, you know, that sadistical way about me, where my back's against the wall, I kind of like it. I kind of like
When the chips are down, am I going to rise to the occasion, or am I just...
That's where your brainstorming happens, because it's like, and I think it's just a normal thing for people. It's all great people saying, I'm working on my business constantly, I'm doing this constantly. I generally think they're full of shit. I think there's a point where you go play golf, you go on holiday, you're relaxed, you take your eye off the ball now and again. But it's not until the chips are falling, you go, oh, shit. So it's like something's just grabbed you and shook you.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I need to get this sorted. And there's an excitement, because it's adrenaline. You're like, I need to get this fixed. You're looking for an outcome. You're looking for, I did this and I've managed to achieve that. And it's just kudos to yourself and your team. But let's rewind it back. You're in your business journey 4 or 5 months. You've not got all that experience
there. Not that easy.
You've not got all the people around you, right? You probably have. I mean, they do say in business, eventually after a few years, you should have more than probably 10,000 connections. That's through LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, friends of friends of friends. You know, don't underestimate the power of that. And there's one word that I use in sales, and never underestimate. You've already said it, Mike. Help.
Mm-hmm.
When you come across that you're vulnerable, and this is genuine, this is not manipulation. Vickers, I was wondering if I had a quick word with you.
No.
Peter.
Just 20 seconds of time, it would really help me.
The thing is, though, help.
So I was wondering,
word.
And it's how you deliver it. You know, you couldn't say, I wonder if you can help me. You want directions? That sounds like you want directions.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering if you could, help me. I'm struggling here. Oh, right. I don't know, neurologically or whatever. You go to that survive, protect.
It's built in into all of us. If somebody comes to you, it's built into everybody. Okay. I'm yet to meet somebody. I'm yet to meet someone, and I stand to be corrected in that. If you come in the right way and you say, I need your help, to go, sorry, no, I can't help you. I'm yet to meet somebody who'll go, no.
There's all these things psychologically, the words that you say, the actions. This is why I always talk about the handshake. When you put your hand out and point to someone's bollocks or vagina, the instant reaction is to grab your hand. But it takes a particular type of person that will just stand there and look at your handshake. I mean, they've got some minerals in them. I mean, that's really uncomfortable for somebody to actually put their hand out. And if you don't really like them and you go, no, I'm not shaking your hand, I mean, how often does that really happen? I've seen it happening. And you know, where does your mind, my mind goes, going, oh, they're a ruthless son of a bitch. Or is there bad blood between that? Like, what does it say when you're witnessing that? My wee mind's going, I'm going to get a handshake off him.
You said it earlier on. It has to show up in your actions. It has to show up in your actions. If I say to you, I am a kind, caring person, okay, and then one day when nobody's watching, you see me kicking a dog, what are you going to be thinking? Okay. So everybody wants to have integrity, and everybody wants to be honest. Bullshit. It's the two values you can fake. You can actually fake almost anything. Because it's when it's just you and nobody's looking. And unfortunately, there is always somebody looking. So what you profess to be, that comes out in your character, eventually comes out.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. You know, when you fake it till you make it. So I'm going to go back, keep going on the sales strategy just now.
Yeah.
There was a gentleman down south that did this whole fake it till you make it sort of thing. And he was trying to introduce his jeans to the fashion world. Now, this is thinking outside the box, so use this as a sales tactic, right? So what he did is he got sales at jeans out the market from, I can't remember the name of it, right? It was just brilliant. Because we're trying to articulate this as best as I can without stuttering here. So he got jeans from the market and he managed to get a pass at a Paris Fashion Week or whatever it was. So he was mingling with everybody. So he dressed like an eccentric fashion queen, right? Even though he was a guy, right? Dyed his hair all bleached blonde and he got his jeans. And the jeans were just off the market. They were just whatever, they were 15 quid, right? But he says, oh, can you try these on? Can you try these on? And he had all his wee business cards made. So it's the start of a business. So he already knew how to infiltrate that area.
Market, yeah.
Look the part, have the business cards, have the items there and handing them out. And all these people, and he took pictures of these models taking it. He looked the part, but he was he made it out that he was quiet in the background, but I'm an influencer and I'm a big deal. And everybody picked up on it because he managed to get himself into that area. Like, just let's call that area was networking. Then he took it to market and Fashion Week. He started charging them like 300 quid for these pairs of jeans.
Then he bought for 15.
And then people said, oh, these are a perfect fit. They're amazing. There's that. Because it was all shite.
Yeah.
It was all shite. Because it's wrapped up in that expensive place. And then he exposed it and he just had, they all had egg on their face. And then it made this guy from the market like, oh, we're up here. I was like, this is tremendous. So I'm not saying your product has to be crap, but your product can be average. But it's like the whole bottle of water analogy. The bottle of water is a pound in the supermarket. It's £3 in the airport and it's £6 on the airplane. It's the same bottle of water, but it's just changed its location. So think about where you're changing your location and your business and your sales strategy. Maybe you're in the wrong place.
There's an interesting thing. I've got a friend of mine who, in the days of checks, people used to pay by checks. And he did the sale. And then he goes, listen, are you going to pay by check? And I go, yeah. He goes, my driver is in town. And then he'd park his car all the way around. And he goes, I'm going to send my driver. And it was him. And then he'd go, listen, my boss, Klaus, he spoke to you. I'm here to collect the check. And I go, oh, yeah, here's the check. And he'd pick up the check and he'd make friends with the people. Start making friends with the people.
Uh-huh.
And those are the things that I think that you learn. There's no one way that you do it. You have to learn. You have to adapt. You have to just see what works for you.
So it's really interesting because I remember a youngster said this at this thing that we're doing with the schools. What car do you drive? I went, what relevance is it because what for car I drive? What happens if I told you I drive a Volkswagen Passat P-Rage or to a Lamborghini? What? Well, I just want to know your level of success. I went, all right. And I get it because it's a young person. I'm like, so Steve Jobs, before he passed, he explained
the success,
the success and how it's no matter. You know, a watch, it's £1 or £5,000. It tells the time. A car, regardless of £1,000 or £300,000, it gets you from A to B. So it's all that analogy. You've got all the fluffy stuff and the materialistic stuff, but we all had that. But I think when you grow in business, you start realizing it's all nonsense. So some of the most successful people drive, they're not that bothered about it. They like comfort and want, but they're not spending £300,000-£400,000 on a car. But it was just interesting. That's what they think right away. And we all do it to a point.
Oh, absolutely. What does success mean? How do I know you're successful? Because that's the question that comes to most people's minds is, how do I know you're successful?
So here's the thing. The visualization, again, people see that you're successful because you've got an Armani suit on and you look dapper and don't get me wrong, if you're driving a fly, if you came in your private jet to Edinburgh, there's a level of success there. Or mummy and daddy is quite wealthy. But it's all the things that you see that you've been taught that proves that successful. You know, if you're shopping and you live in Edinburgh and you're in the penthouse, right, you've obviously got some clout or you've been very lucky or very fortunate. You drive a fancy car, again, you're very lucky, you're very fortunate, or you've been successful that way, or you're just very good with money and debt, and you could take whatever it may be. But success, how does it turn up? How does it show up?
What
does
fancy success?
For everybody, though.
Well, yeah. So what is success? What says I'm successful? What does that mean?
If you've achieved what you've looked out to achieve, you've been successful.
In your eyes, in somebody else's eyes. How do we measure success? So it's just an interesting thing.
Like, you can look at someone else and say, well, they're obviously successful because they've turned up in the big suit and the fancy, whatever, but they could have just spent their last penny doing that just so they have that look.
Right.
You just don't know with people.
I believe in the manipulation. It happens a lot on day-to-day because I look for that sometimes because I love all the... I like manipulation. I like the cons and stuff like that. How you can... But it's not in a bad way. It's just there's another way to get in and around it. But generally, success for me... I see successful people when they talk a certain way and they're giving me education. I'm like, that's success. That doesn't matter if you've got 500 million in the bank or you've got 50 quid. There's a lot of people that have got success because they're educated or they're world-wise. I remember chatting to a guy outside a bar in Edinburgh 2 years ago in the summer. He must have been 70 odds. And I could have sat with him all day. And he was just a bit of inspiration. And he probably didn't even realise that, telling me tales and stories about this and that. And it was all around kindness, and it was around seeing the world, and we're talking about the arts and crafts. And I'm like, wow, you're just an intellect. You're just a really good guy. That's success.
Being a really good guy.
Being a good guy, that's success. Good person.
Well, we're all successful then, eh?
Bill, last night you were
me. Us all,
do you not think, what do you think? What's success to you when it turns up?
I think success is something that sits inside you.
Exactly.
I think success doesn't necessarily mean because you have a Ferrari, you're successful. Could have a Ferrari with a lot of debt. Could have a private jet, lots of debt.
You said something last week or the week before success, and I actually thought, I want that. When you said Brad and Summer like spending time with you and you're going down to Stranraer, and then they want to go on holiday, they don't want to take that boy's kind of friends. I'm like, no, fuck that, it's your family holiday. I'm like, that's amazing. That's amazing.
So I think success, you define your own success. Yeah. But what we want to do, we want to be successful in the eyes of the world. And there's this image that you've created that unless you have a 5-bedroom house and you drive the latest car and the latest plate, then you're not successful. I don't know. I just don't subscribe to that theory. I think success is measured on your deathbed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever going to ask you, what grades did you do at school? Nobody's ever going to ask you how much money do you have in the bank. Well, maybe they do if you've got a
family role.
Yeah. So what do they ask you? And that's when success really counts, is if on your deathbed, if your family's around you, then you know you've been successful.
How you've made people feel. Like, I think I'm successful. I've got two kids, I've got a wife, dog,
and a dog,
two cats. I've got my house. And another thing, this is just the echo.
And you've got your health.
I've got my health as well. I like it when my mates come round. Like Mike came round on Friday. I like when my mates come, they want to come round and sit for a few hours. My brother wants to pop down and just chin wag. I like that because it just feels like, people like to come here. Don't get me wrong, I like to go to other people's houses as well, but I'm just like,
a good sense of belonging.
I like your dog.
She likes you as well. Take her.
To be fair.
She's actually got the cold now. Sneezing like mad. That's like, but no, that there's a measure of success. But so, again, back to sales. I really want to push this sales for people. You've went on Google. You've tried to get networking. You've spoke to other businesses, trying to get a collaboration.
You've gone onto social media. You've done all of those things.
See your business depend what it is, but where do your customers hang out? Where do they congregate on in social media and life? You know, obviously it just depends what you're trying to sell, but where are they? Go and find them and then sell to them.
Because everybody's after the how.
Conversations is a good one. Just have a conversation.
So
what's the need? What is the need of your customer and what problem are you solving for them? And just get that word out there.
So in the absence of talking about the value you create for them, and in the absence of talking about differentiation, if you're not doing those two things, the only thing they have to go on is price.
Yep.
So the first question out of their mouth is what it's going to cost me. But when there's no sales, do you take that customer yes or no?
You will at the start though. There's more doubt. You will.
Well, look at it this way. I've had to take some extra wee bits on a reduced rate.
Absolutely.
Which is getting something in.
Why is that important that you take that client on?
Well, it's a business and you need money in. So.
Yeah. So, and the secondary reason?
No, you're building up that database. And you don't know, they could be the worst client in the world, but there's a point where you'll just not deal with them anymore.
And that's the point. You start understanding what good customers look like. You start creating. Because it's easy to sit here and say, write down, do a customer persona. Very easy to do that. You can Google it. You can go find it. And then you say, go find out where they hang out. And okay, let's go and see if they're there. But when you meet somebody for the first time and they've done those sales statistics, if you meet somebody for the first time, the likelihood of them buying from you is like 1%. It's something like between 5 and 12 times that you have to meet somebody and touch them before they buy from you. And that process could be 1 month, could be 1 week, could be 1 day. That's where reactiveness kicks in.
There's other things as well, like even we've spoken about flyers. You know, you could hit a whole area with flyers.
Well, and this is the thing, you're a printer. I'm a printer now. So it doesn't cost me a huge amount to get flyers. It's most cost effective. But then it's where you're putting those flyers. Mm-hmm. And again, we've said this in previous episodes. You know, my trick was the flyers, roll them up and stick them in the door handles of cars. And if it's raining, go to the multi-story. How do you get around? They'll think you're a thief when they're watching the cameras. So what to do is just put a vis vest on.
High vis.
People expect put boots on, high vis. They're like, oh, excellent. And just roll up. You'll get away for a while until they come back to you. You know what? If somebody comes and says, what are you doing here? You're like, I'm putting flyers through the door handles because it's just nice. I'm doing a promotion to try and help the local community out. I got I sanctioned this with Stuart Robertson. Who's Stuart Robertson? He's the FM guy here. I know him really well. What's your name? Angus McLeod. Hi, Vickers Mumblejohn. But all it is, it's a tactic to delay him. But that's, again, that's how you carry yourself.
It's how confident you are.
How you carry, because he will have to go and check that. So you've still got 5 minutes to run. But can't we? So you can do that, flyers. You can find out, you know, where those clients will be hanging around. In order, it's a signpost to your shop, to your telephone, whatever it may be. It's a signpost. So think about their journey on a day-to-day basis.
You could also just stick it in a chat GPT and ask AI.
Here we go.
Give us some ideas. You know, if you're sitting there going, I've run out of ideas, just even that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do this live right now.
So he's going to do it live. So give us some ideas to generate more sales.
The other thing then is going back a bit is paying attention to your market in the sense of, is your market getting saturated? Is that why sales are dropping? You know, just keeping an eye on things.
Yeah, so if we look at lettings, because it's a contracting market, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it because it's driven by legislation. Yeah.
There's a lot of, like that market in particular, it's not like you're going to buy cups. So you can just produce as much cups as you want. Everybody's fighting for the same business
slice
in that
of
sector.
The pie.
Yeah. So it's very
and it becomes a lot harder though, because if you look at landlords, don't want to additional dwelling supplement that puts off
killer
there's external environment.
I found that. I'm so glad that we discussed this already. So my chat GPT, I just went how to get sales for a printing business very quickly. So number one was tap into your network, reach out to friends, family and business connections to let them know about your services, offer exclusive discounts for referrals on a first time customers basis. That's good. We've talked about that. Partner with local businesses. Approach nearby businesses like restaurants, retail stores, and event planners that need printed materials, menu flyers, posters. Offer bundle deals or free samples to showcase your quality. Target niche markets. Focus on specific industries. Put your teeth back in, Johnny. Like real estate for brochures, schools, yearbooks, or event organizers for banners or invites. Highlight tailored packages for each group. A couple of more. Promote through social media, so use that. Leverage online platforms. Offer quick turnaround times. Highlight the fast delivery or same day service to attract customers with urgent needs. Because
the differentiation.
Attend networking events or trade shows. Provide free samples. Focus on excellent customer service. So, I mean, that, how long? 30 seconds, not even 30 seconds to put in a chat GPT. So you've...
But now you need to, now you've just rattled off like 25 of those things. Okay. Now you need to go, okay, which ones give me the quickest results? Yep. Because you're after quick sales.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's trying. It's very important as well not to go daft spending loads of money on things.
Bootstrap. I'm a great guy at bootstrapping because we built our business on bootstrap.
And you have to test it. You know what? How?
And you need to chase quickly. You do the same thing to two different types of audiences. You find out this works, this doesn't work, and then you go, okay, this is the way it works. You need to be quick to pivot. Oh, that's a big word, pivot.
But it's so true.
You need to be quick to change because I'm onto big buzzwords today. Consumer buying trends. The way people are buying is changing. You think about things like Amazon. We've become used to things being delivered the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, we create hell. And if Amazon's refund policies, they don't even question. So when you go to a retailer and they start questioning, you're like, why is this? You get aggro. So, I saw that in a shopping center this weekend. So that's why I'm just saying that it's those behaviors that you need to be after. Is it changing? Is the way people are finding... No. Teeth back in, Vickers. The way people are finding you, is that changing? Because we've become used to SEO and the web and Facebook, LinkedIn. Is that where your customers, is that how they're finding you? Or they're finding you through referrals? Is that the way they're finding you? How are they finding you? How's that changing?
You always have to look at your age demographic. So fancy buzzword. But
we offer buzzwords today, hey?
I'm just feeling it, eh? What's your client's name? How old is he? Or how old is she? Where do they hang around? You know, start just mapping out what the client is. Who that, you know, your best client. Who they are, how do they dress, where do they hang about?
What?
You know, what car do they drive? How much money do they make? What job do they have? Because when you go down that rabbit hole, you'll start really target. It'll be target focused, laser beam focused.
And you know what that does is when you look back at some of your sales that you've made, you go, jeez, these guys fit into this category. Okay, how did I find them? You go back to the basics and you retrace them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this to you, that a lot of businesses struggle because they're looking for that one magic moment. Okay, never happens. Yeah, did I tell you about weight loss last week? Did I tell you about?
But losing over a period of time.
Yeah, it's the combination of 250 grams a week. Consistency beats it every day. It's showing up every day. It's being consistent, even when the chips are down. Being consistent, getting up, doing the same thing, even though it gives you nothing, but being consistent any day of the week.
The discipline of it all. Yeah.
But pivoting's a good one. Like I had, this is years now, this is early 20s probably.
When you were in your early 20s?
Yeah. I worked with a guy doing fire surrounds locally and he was really bad at it. And I was really good at it. So there was I seen an opportunity there that I could do this because he was making some decent money here and it was all really off the back of what I was doing.
So you were just being exploited?
A bit. Yes, I. A young lad. I'm not going to tell you what it was on an hour. So I went, that was the first attempt at having my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Business Gateway, getting a business plan together, looking at funding to get this started, premises to try and do it all from. And I was in B&Q one day and they had suddenly, there's a fire surround that they're starting to sell. And it was one that was made where you could slide the legs out to make a different sizes, so it's going to fit various sort of properties and what their needs were. And they were a fraction, obviously, because they're just mass producing these things instead of it being bespoke. And I stood there and went, that's it, fucked. So I didn't take that forward. I was still working for the guy at the time, but he went under like maybe 3 or 4 months after that.
Buying patents, buying behaviors, new products coming onto the market, check all those things.
Well, it's like when we did when we were still in the process of dealing with the schools, when the kids came up with a business idea, one of them was really, really good. But it wasn't until later on somebody else sent a message went, that's already an idea. I'm like, fuck.
But that would be the case a lot of the times, eh?
Yeah, because again, market research, finding out, is it there? It's even when you're trying to find out your business name.
Right.
Is it already there? Check on Compass House, check on Google, make sure. However, you can still do the business. You just have to make it better. Now, for that, I understand that may be a little bit difficult and challenging, making the fire surrounds and whatnot. There is a cut off. You go, no, this is not financially feasible. The market's going to get saturated. It's going to be taken over by X, Y, and Z. But sometimes you've got to stand back and think, could I make that better? Could I put that out to the market better than this person? Because some people don't. They don't put it out to the market properly and they devalue it. All you need to do is look outside the box and think of a different way to approach your clients and, again, create the value opposed to
the
price.
It's all about the value.
Aye, mm-hmm. You know.
And one of the things you've got going for you when you first start up is you've got that real, like the connection you're making with your clients, it's very personal. You know, and the relationship you're building up as the business owner, they're speaking to the business owner, and that's the bit that dilutes as you start to grow and get more people in. But at the start, you've got that, you know, that's something that's definitely working in your favour.
Like even when whatever you're trying to sell, and this, the psychology of business and sales is just, is monumental. We were chatting last night about why you don't see Rolls Royce and Maserati and the car shows next to all these other cars.
Because that's not where their clients hang out. Their clients hang out at private jet places.
That's exactly it. And when you look at, so that's why they take the pictures of the cars next to a private jet, because it seems to be an impulse buy when it's only 300 grand for a car opposed to 3.9 million or 20 million for a plane. So find a location, it's like the bottle of water. Find a location where your services are going to be then valued. So get yourself, so I believe like these trade shows are good for a point, but it's what you're doing in these trade shows. So I remember going to a trade show for Cammy when he had the clothing company. And I seen all these clothing companies down there and, you know, they had all the nice women, all the lycra on, and men were going there and it's all gym buffs. And I'm thinking, right, our stuff's average, right? We've not got a big fancy decorated show, but what we've got is the right people. We've got real people. And it was all about having a laugh and getting cues and cues. I thought, if I can create 10 people around me by being loud and doing something, it'll get other people falling, go, what's going on there? Because other people had the loud music and the sexy men and the sexy women and all that sort of thing. Some people would entice people in with some sweets and things like that. But I was like, no, banter, 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 laughs, giggles, cameras, pictures, and everybody wants to get it. And we did extremely well. We did extremely well there.
Mm.
But okay. It's all about finding a location. And if you're in a location, you have to make it work for you. Do everything you possibly can. You could say, right, I'm in the wrong place. I've taken a punt here. All right, what can I do to make this as best as I possibly can? You've got to go for it.
Create a destination venue. Create a place where people would travel to.
Yep.
Think outside the box.
Well, it's like snack vans. Snack vans. That, again, that's all down to location, location, location. All the time. And then it's how you make them feel when you're selling.
And the food has to be semi-decent.
Semi-decent. It can be semi-decent, but as long as you make them feel decent, you know, it's so important to make people feel whatever it is, whether you're selling plants, mics, anything, blinds, it's so important how you make the people feel.
Because somebody turns up to your snack van and you're going, all right, John, how are you this morning? You're like, oh, remember my name. You know, all of a sudden, that's the van you're going to go to.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah.
And it's also important that when there's a queue, you just acknowledge the people in the queue. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be there in like 2 minutes. I'm sorry. Anybody here just for a bottle of water that can be quick in and out? Things that you don't think, never the big things. Always the small little things that we don't think about.
Okay. So when you're going out and you're showcasing your business on a day-to-day basis, right? Remember, that's you. You're turning up. Whatever your business is, that's you. Every time people are seeing you, whether you're having a spitting in the street, if you've got something there, you're doing, I mean, as grotesque as that is, just be aware that people are watching you and you're representing your business. How do you want it to be represented on 24 hours a day, right? I might sound a bit too heavy, but it's so important. You're the person that shows up, you're the person that's getting judged, and that's equally judging your business on your actions.
Cool.
But, you know, it's exciting. It's great being in business. You know, all the ups and downs on it, there's some downs, of course there's, but there's a lot of ups as well. And I think we're just giving you the reality of it. But my reality, why are we still in business though? You know, the 15 years, 20 years past.
What's the benefit that you get from being in business?
It's fucking brilliant. It is brilliant. It's hard. Yes, of course it's hard. But anything that gives you a good outcome, you have to go through something that's a bit difficult, a bit abrasive.
Yeah, so being in business is hard. Being employed is hard. Choose your hard.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
That's it.
It's a bit like shaping your world before somebody else does.
Hey, there we go. Boom. Look at that. That was a smart one.